Shalom Aleichem, one and all, as we prepare for Shabbos, Parshas Kodesh, Parshas Vayikra, Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayikra, also Parshas Zachar, and leading up, as Parshas Zachar always does, to the wonderful Yom Tov of Purim. Let me begin, of course, with something on Parshas Vayikra, and then we'll move on. I'll start with something that sounds a bit technical. In Perek Gimel Pasuk Tes, it talks about putting onto the Mizbeach Chelboi Ha'alya Tamima. I would teach that to mean the fats of the tail, the complete tail. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says Chelboi Hamufchishabai. Chelboi doesn't mean its fats, it means the best part of it. Umahuzeh Ha'alya Tamima. That is the tail, the fatty tail. Tails have fat in it. But chelbay doesn't mean fat. It means chelbay, it's mufcha shabay. Chelav is sometimes used to mean something like the fat of the land, meaning the excellent part. Why is Rashi doing this? The Ramban has an arichus to explain it quite at length. He explains as follows. We know that there are two words in Hebrew for fats, animal fats. Chelav and shuman, both of which are usually translated as fat. However, Chelev refers specifically to those fats that are prohibited by the Torah, that are aser. Shuman refers to permitted fats. Dr. Ramban, all chelev is a krum. It doesn't come as fat which is mixed into the meat, but all chelev deraisa is fat which comes as a strip of fat, either a strip of fat, let's say on the diaphragm, where we pull off the fat on a skirt steak, or a string of fat in the ribs. Wherever the fat that we use when we traber, when we make the animal, the meat kosher, it's always a crumb. It's never mixed into the meat. In the case of the tail, there is no such crumb. There is no such string or strip of fat. As a matter of fact, Ramban says that any aver shianua tamid, any part of the body, fingers, feet, parts of the body are constantly moving, never have strips of fat in them. And the tail which moves also doesn't. So it can't be that this is referring to chelev. So therefore, says the Ramban, Ibri shows from many psukim that chelev means the mufchashabai, the excellent part, and that's why Rashi teaches the pasuk chelboi, its excellent part. What's of particular interest is that the Ramban says, "Hutzrachti laharach b'zeh, listaim piyam shel tzedukim yemach shemam." I have to say this because there are pikursim out there, meaning to say that there were people then, as they are today, who say that Chazal, they didn't know the facts, they didn't know the physical facts. Or God forbid, they say it about the Torah itself, that the physical facts don't match. Physical fats don't match. So you see, the Torah is not from the Rabbi Nishalom. Well, you see, Chazal don't know what they're talking about. So Ramban says there were those who said that, oh my, chelev is a strip of meat, a strip of fat. You see the tail that says chelbay, and there is no such fat. So it must be Chazal don't know what they're talking about. They never looked into fats. They never saw fats. They were busy in the base medrash. They never looked at animals. So to be mighty, believe in Shalapi Korsim, the Ramban says that we have to show from numerous places that Chelboi could mean the fat of the land. Today, we have this all the time. We have the so-called experts all saying that Chazal don't know what they were talking about. I am privileged, honored to have a Mispal who is a professor of biology, and has taken it on himself to examine many of these scientific or biological facts which are disputed by those who are busy saying, Chazal never saw these creatures and don't know what they're talking about. What comes to mind particularly as I'm sitting here today, Chazal say that the pregnancy period of a snake is 7 years. A big fuss has been made of it, and it's not true. The snakes don't carry their offspring for 7 years. Chazal didn't know snakes. They're ridiculed and they're dismissed. this professor, my dear friend, brought me an article. The article had nothing to do with Chazal. It was an article about snakes. And it remarked about how snakes have the unusual capacity to carry in their bodies the zera of the male and become pregnant almost at will and give birth much, much later. And therefore, it says in the article that it's that it happens up to 7 years later after the mating of the male and female snake that the snake first gives birth. There's an article that seems to say, what do you know? They do know what they're talking about. Now, it's a shame that there are people out there who need some Gentile scientist to say, ah, you see, Chazal knew what they were talking about. But they need it. And this is just one of many examples. The Gemara says, Chizkiv Yehuda Achi, there were two twins. There were a pair of twins that were born a couple of months apart, Reb Chiya's two sons, Yehuda and Chizkiya. There are those who ridicule it. They say it can't be. A woman doesn't give birth two months apart. So, this dear friend of mine brought me an article about women who have split uteruses that do give birth separately. It's rare, but they do go into labor, give birth to one child, and separately later go into labor and give birth to a second child. My point here is, there's nothing new under the sun. Well, we see today people saying the Chazal don't know what they're talking about because they never saw elephants or they never saw snakes. They don't know. The Ramban had such people too. And the Ramban, Lohitzi Miliban, says that this pshat that Rashi brings. Let's move on to a thought for the extraordinary Yom Tov of Purim, which is coming upon us. Purim is what you make of it. Make sure you go to your Rebbeim, go to your Rabbanim, go and get brachas, get gebenched. It's a time of extraordinary bracha, kol ha'pesach yad, noistim lai. Whoever asks, the Rabbanu Hashem gives him. You have to feel the simcha, the joy of Chag HaPurim. Let me share with you a couple of thoughts on Chag HaPurim. On the 13th day of Nisan, Haman drew lots. There were then 3 days of fasting, and then the Mishnah of Esther, perhaps 2 nights in a row, Mishnah of Esther, and then Haman was hanged. There's a machlokes exactly what day it was, if the 3 days are 13th, 14th, and 15th. The Rosh Hashanah understands that Haman was hanged on the 15th, of Nisan. Rashi, both in the Gemara and in Masechtas Megillah, understands that it was the 16th of Nisan. The question is, why don't we have a Yom Tov then? Why weren't they kaveh the Yom Tov for the Nes on the day that Achashverosh wanted the hanging of Haman and the elevation of Mordechai? Why do we have it in Purim? So, of course, the typical answer would be that on Pesach is not the time to do it. However, I'd like to suggest a different answer. In dealing with this period of time, we realized that Haman sent out messengers. And the messengers traveled wide and far to tell the decree. It was 14 days travel just in Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz. And who knows, to Paras Hamadai. So it could be it took a month or 2 months. Now when the Shluchim came, let's say, Rosh Chodesh Iyar, to a city and said that there was a decree against the Jews, they did not yet know that Haman had been hanged by then. They knew nothing about it because the messengers that went after he was hanged were 3 days behind them. So what happened? There was a rolling time of Avelus. Rolling, I mean, In Shushan, it was the 3 days. And then they found out right away about the fact that Haman was hanged. But in every country, all the way down to Eretz Yisrael. It was later. It could be in Eretz Yisrael. It didn't happen until in the middle of the year that they heard the tragedy. And maybe they fasted also 3 days. And then 3 days later, they heard of the Yeshua. So that, the original Yeshua, was spread out over time. And therefore, it's not an appropriate time to celebrate. The appropriate time to celebrate is therefore the day that was Shavuot HaKoel in Adar. By the time Adar came around, everyone had gotten the message about the special opportunity afforded Klal Yisrael to destroy their enemies on the 30th day of Adar, and everybody celebrated at once. And that may well be why the celebration was in Adar. In Perichas Pasuk Gimel, Esther comes to Achashverosh, Atipa Lefnei Raglav, Vateifa Tiskani Lefonov. Esther comes, when is that? Well, later in the Perek, it tells us it was the 23rd day of the month of Sivan. She comes and she cries in front of Achashverosh. And she says, help the Jews. Isn't it strange? In Perek Zion, where she's first having her Mishnah, she doesn't cry. Vatan Esther Amalka Vataymer. She doesn't cry. And here, in Perek, 3 months later, after Haman is hanged already, and Mordechai is already in control of Beis Haman, now she cries. Why is she crying now more than before? It's an incredible thought in the Sefer Yosef Lekach from Akadmain on Megillas Esther. It says, human nature is that when you have an Asirus, you let it out into something. But the nature is, if you let it out, if they ask you for something big, and you have Asirus, and you're hesitant, you give something small. You don't give something big. And with that, you satisfy the hysteria. You satisfy the feeling that you have. Esther was frightened. She said, what happened? I asked to save the Jewish people. Achashverosh hanged Haman, elevated Mordechai. But he didn't make a decree to protect the Jewish people yet. Now she was really frightened. Person doesn't get a strong hysteria twice. It happens once. Achashverosh was awakened to the reality, the right thing to do, but he didn't do everything. And now she had to plead with him and beg with him to get a new awakening, a new hysteria. This is such a muscle. There are times in our lives when we have a hysteria to do things properly. At times in life where world events sometimes shake us up or personal events shake us up, and we say we have to dive into Hashem, we have to awaken to Hashem. What does the Yetzer Hara do? He lets us patru pachim katanim. He says, oh, okay, do, you know, put a $20 bill in the pushka. And then it's all over. No, no, no. When you have an Asirus, go for the prize, go for the big thing. That's the message here. And so, a thought on the parasha regarding Chelev. A thought on the calendar regarding Purim, and a Musa idea regarding Purim. One Bakasha, please tell the one who's laying in the Megillah that it's not Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamor. It's not six new ones in Shemen Hamor. It's Shisha Chadoshim B'Shemen Hamor. It's 6 months in Shemen Hamor. Many Bali Kriya say it wrong. Now, if you say Shisha Chidoshim, you would probably be good. It's a Chat of Kometz. Or Chadoshim, which means month. Chaydesh is a month. Those who say Shisha Chadoshim, B'Shem and Amar, are saying 6 new ones. In what 6 new ones? What are you talking about, B'Shem and Amar? And therefore, it is a very important, significant, and worthwhile thing to tell your Baal Kairei, unless he's an excellent Baal Kairei and knows it anyway, that it's not Shisha Chadoshim. It's Shisha Chodashim. Now be careful if you're going to wait till the laning and correct him. You don't know what you're talking about. He says Chodashim, you say Chodashim. You're going to have to point it out to him. A wonderful, absolutely wonderful Purim to one and all. Next Thursday is Purim. You have to come in person to hear the Dvar Torah. My home will be available from 11 in the morning until whatever time it is in the evening. I'd love to see you, rejoice with you. On Wednesday night, Leil Purim, as every year, we will be having a Simchas Purim in my house. One and all are invited to come and join us. I want to thank Rabbi Yitzchak Bald, who will once again be there with the music to celebrate Be'ezras Hashem, the falling of the enemies of the Jewish people, and the uplifting of Klal Yisrael, the Kimu V'Kiblu, We should do it all again, whole Klal Yisrael. Let's have a man of that as we celebrate Purim. A good Shabbos to one and all.